and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I am your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
You know, Dr. Linda, people that listen to the show every week hear me say, it's so great to be back with you again, this Dr. Linda, this weekend. But it is. I do look forward to the show each week. I think we have a lot of fun.
We do. Yeah, we do.
I think hopefully people get something out of it when they listen
to
it.
Well, we're hoping. We're trying to give a lot of relationship help and advice. And so I think it brings some value to people.
It is springtime, and we are always
thankful for that. Thank goodness.
Right. You start to see some new signs of life pop up after a long winter. And it's sort of reminds you that it's hopeful because we need hope.
We do. We really do.
Well, today's show is, like we said, hopefully going to do that. Bring hope to relationships that might be in the need of a little bit of first aid. And speaking of first aid, we all need to be first responders when it comes to strengthening our relationships, especially our marriages.
I like that little first responder thing you just said.
That's right.
So we do. We have to get in there, respond to what's going on so that we don't get into problems with our relationships. And that means, Chris, we have to pay attention to the signs of what's going on in a relationship. You know, most of us have gone through some kind of rocky times with either a family member, maybe a loved one. Maybe you're having a tough time right now with a coworker or even a boss. And some of you listening might be on the brink of losing a relationship. But listen, don't give up hope. Just like springtime here, we don't want to give up on what's happening in those relationships. Instead, what we're going to do today is we're going to have you look at what are some signs that tell you, I better start paying attention and I better start doing some different things so I can make this relationship strong.
You've heard me mention before, Dr. Linda, that I'm part of a small group at church and it's families with young children. And I'll tell you, it is clear that we all have stress and difficulties in our relationships. We're talking raising kids.
Yeah. And you've talked so much personally to me about how that group has just been so supportive of each other. And
right.
So when you're going through maybe some difficult times, having that support seems to be really important, isn't it?
Well, it's nice to talk to people your own age. Mm-hmm. And when you find out that they are having troubles, you don't celebrate that they're having troubles, but there is some relief in knowing that you're not the only one going through this stuff.
Yeah. And sometimes, Chris, it can be little things that start to make us go a little bit negative in a relationship. Mm. You know, maybe his socks are always on the floor. Maybe she doesn't get the kids to bed on time. These little annoyances and conflicts that we have can start to build up over time. And what happens is they start to wear just a little bit on a relationship. And if you don't pay attention to that, it creates more problems for the future. In fact, listen to what one listener says is a sign of needing relationship first aid.
I think that relationships, you can't avoid conflict. You can't avoid conflict in relationships because there's always going to be one person in the relationship who wants to work on things, who wants to make things work. And if the other person doesn't reciprocate and doesn't want to deal with the problem, then I think that that's going to cause a lot of tension in a relationship.
You know, it's easy to avoid.
It really is.
But when we do, resentment and negativity towards the person can build up. And this is why we have to try to address the problems right away, isn't it?
Well, I like what he said, because if you don't resolve problems, if you have to acknowledge them first, right?
Mm, right.
So the big thing is, if you're avoiding problems, you're never going to be able to address them. So he's making such a great point. And he said in that, I think he said that if one person is doing that, it's frustrating. Mm. Sometimes there's two people in a relationship avoiding problems.
Right.
And then nobody's talking about anything. So avoiding is not a good strategy. It's not a healthy strategy. It may be hard. It may be difficult for you to look at that partner of yours or that boss of yours and think, I've got to say something. I've got to address a problem. But if you don't do it, then the problem is going to continue to build up in that relationship.
Right. And it seems like if we don't deal with even the small, maybe the little slightly irritating things, they can build up into something bigger. And then that's when we wonder, how did we get to this point? Why are we so unhappy?
I know people seem surprised by that. And I think it is because they're not paying attention to those small things. And this is why sometimes, and I'm not saying all the time, but once in a while, it might be helpful in some relationships to bring in a third party and to have a different perspective in terms of looking at your relationship. Because sometimes a third person can look at your relationship from the outside and they don't have all that emotional baggage that you and your spouse might have in that relationship. So this is one of the reasons that I strongly recommend that people find a marital therapist at the early stages of marital problems. Because that person is trained in looking at your relationship and knows what to do if they're well trained, knows what to do to bring that relationship forward. And, you know, you don't want to get derailed early on, because it's easy, not easy, it's work to bring things back. But we do know what works in a relationship. Chris, couples typically try to work out problems on their own. And you know what? This just kind of blows me away. On average, people wait 6 years, 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Before they go and they see a marriage counselor. And that's a long time to go without getting any kind of intervention or any kind of help.
If you had kidney disease,
you'd be dead.
You couldn't wait six years and have it taken care
of. That's right. It's a good way to think about our marriages, mm-hmm. that, you know, we need to pay attention to them. So get in there and don't wait too long. Do some minor adjustments on that marriage so you can tweak it and make it be better.
Maybe it's our pride that stops us from getting the help that we need, or maybe we just don't know exactly what it is that we're doing in that relationship that's causing the problem.
You know, I train student doctors, and I'm training them to look at signs and symptoms of disease. But first, they have to know what healthy looks like. So the first year of their training, we'd say, here's what a healthy body looks like. The second year, we say, this is what dysfunction and disease looks like. Why don't we do the same thing in our relationships? Why don't we look at what does a healthy relationship, what does that look like? And a lot of people have grown up and they really haven't seen a healthy relationship.
I'm reading a book now about a pastor who's also a counselor, and he says when he got into his marriage, he knew exactly what was wrong with his marriage because that's the way his parents were.
Yeah.
So it was modeled for him.
Well, and that's what happens. So sometimes we don't know what a healthy relationship looks like. So if you can start to think, maybe I can look at what's healthy, maybe read some things, get some help with that, then I'm going to be able to find those signs again.
When I get stuck with someone at work or maybe even in the family, it's easy to focus on who is right and who is wrong. So making sure that we don't blame the other person is important.
It's not only important, it's really critical, because blame makes you think negatively about another person. And once you start thinking negatively about that person, and if the negative thinking takes over the positive thinking, then the relationship really starts to feel bad. So right now, if you're listening to this, and of course you are, think about a relationship that maybe needs a little bit of first aid. And ask yourself, is the relationship more positive than negative? Are you thinking about that person in a very positive way? Do you think about their positive qualities? Or are you focusing on the negatives? And here we can apply Philippians 4:8 that tells us to think on things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. We can think about those things when we're thinking of that relationship.
Dr. Linda, before we go to the break, we have just a few seconds. Tell us about empathy in this situation.
Well, you got to have empathy. So you got to start thinking about how the other person is feeling. Mm-hmm. Try to put yourself in their shoes. And if you can't do that, then you're going to have some problems, because you have to start thinking about what's going on with them, what's behind what they're doing. And, you know, when we understand each other, we do a whole lot better with each other.
We can already tell that this is going to be a good conversation. You might want to share the show with a friend. Go to myfaithradio.com and search for the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today's show and past shows are archived on the website and available for you to listen to at any time, and you can share those links. So stay with us as we continue today's topic on Relationships First Aid on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
Find out what your conflict style is. Click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
We need to talk.
Here we go again.
I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh, something's wrong.
This is gonna be a long night.
Oh no, not again.
What did I do this time?
We need to talk. Four words that can stop a conversation and grip us with anxiety. Let's be honest. These words usually mean something is wrong, and we are about to go into the world of feelings, a place not everyone likes to visit. If you are smart, you won't begin a conversation with these four words. The phrase, we need to talk, puts most of us on the defensive. We need to talk takes time and energy. It can be exhausting and doesn't always end with a quick fix. But the idea behind we need to talk is important to making our relationships work. It's our cue that something needs to be addressed.
Dr. Linda Mental's latest book, We Need to Talk, is available now in bookstores everywhere, or visit her online at drlindahelps.com. drlindahelps.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today's topic is relationship first aid, how you can revive a dull or boring relationship and even save one that might be gasping for air. Dr. Linda, your book, We Need to Talk, is so helpful on today's topic, and I would encourage all of the listeners to order a copy on Amazon and follow you on social media. You offer so much help for relationships through your writings and your blogs. But today's topic, relationship first aid, and Dr. Linda, when there's a problem, a tempting thing to do is to bring up the past. I'm really bad about this, by the way. I do this all the time. And point out other times the person has done something to upset us. We know that doesn't help, and it only makes the person get defensive. And I guess when we feel hurt, we like to hurt back.
That's right on in terms of when we're hurt, we like to hurt back. And we all do this. And we have to resist that temptation to hurt the person back. It's so tempting. I mean, you're being really honest about you do that. Mm. I think all of us do that because we think of those things immediately when we're in the middle of a
conflict. Well, and you've got great ammunition. You have to use it immediately. You know?
Yeah, because we want to be right, right? So it goes back to that whole wanting to be right again. But here's the thing that it really does take the power of the Holy Spirit in us not to respond to that way. I really think so, Chris, because it is the natural tendency to want to hurt back. Mm. And so if we respond in love, which takes that power of God in us, of Christ in us, then those times when we are really hurt, we need to practice forgiveness rather than try to hurt back and throw something into that person's face. So forgiveness is probably the most important first aid response that any of us can use. I know it can be hard to do sometimes, but again, forgiveness is an act of our will. It's a choice that we make to not allow unforgiveness or bitterness to clog us up in the relationship and keep us stuck.
And you've said many times that we shouldn't wait to forgive until we feel like it. Forgive, then the feelings eventually catch up.
Yeah, because if you wait for feelings, that's not going to really happen right away. In fact, a lot of times when I have chosen to forgive somebody, I really have to pray every day for my feelings to catch up to what I'm telling God I want to do. Forgiveness is a gift that we give ourselves and other people. And we do this because God forgives us, and he tells us to forgive others because he's forgiven us. So rather than bringing up the past, we want you to stay present, forgive, and then move on. And then behave in a way that shows you really did forgive that person. If you do this, it will change the climate of the relationship. So think about this, just as a little silly example. If you were to hug your wife five times a day, whether you felt like it or not, it's going to change the emotional climate in the house, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. So forgiveness is like that. It does the same thing. It changes the atmosphere of the relationship.
You can really see the next person melt when you offer them forgiveness. There, a lot of times the defense just comes down.
It's very, very powerful. Well, let's listen to another person who gave us his idea of relationship first aid.
The first thing I would notice would probably be an awkward or series of awkward interactions between me and my wife, not being able to effectively communicate, or maybe some forms of avoidance would be some of the major issues that I would notice if there were some kind of issues with our relationship.
Yeah, he's right. Awkward communication. Is that a sign that you know it gets a little tense?
Definitely.
And you know what happens? That's the beginning. If you don't talk, that's the beginning of uncoupling. That's a term I like. Don't you like that?
Yeah.
Uncoupling?
Right.
And that's a danger sign, because if you start to uncouple, which is not being together, and it starts to feel like relief, that's really a bad sign. So when you do that, when you start to not come to your partner and talk to your partner, that's a kind of disengagement that means you're no longer a team. You're not working together to do everyday life. So you really need to pay attention to this and look and see, am I making an effort not to be with that partner, not to talk to that partner? If that's going on, then you need to talk about your day, maybe share some stories about the kids, show some fondness and affection, and do things together. You have to work at staying coupled. It's just too easy to begin to do your own thing in today's world.
Right. Uncoupling basically means less communication. And you're pointing out that that is actually very dangerous.
Yeah, because if we all like to communicate, Chris. We want to talk to somebody. And just think about it. We like to feel understood. We like to be validated. We like to have people in our lives, friends. And if we don't do that with our intimate others, we're going to seek someone else out to do that with. Mm. And that's what I mean by the danger. It's just a tendency that we have. We want to be with people and be validated by them. So don't be lazy about communication with someone you care about. Take the time to maybe send them a note, maybe text them an encouragement, or just pay attention to the person. You know, turn off the media and right. Look them in the eye.
Well, uncoupling can be a problem, but then there's the issue of everyone is just being too busy. Here's what one listener had to say.
I think a relationship gets in trouble when people are too busy all the time to be able to enjoy one another, take care of one another, think about each other's needs. I think that's when things go bad.
That is so true, isn't it?
Right.
And we all are guilty of this. We just get so busy in our schedules. We're spending too much time. Some of us spend too much time on social media. I know you've talked about that.
Right, yeah. That can be a little bit of a problem. You think you're winding down. Hey, I'll check Facebook. But then you look and say, you know what? I could be spending some time with my wife instead of just looking at my phone. And one thing about being too busy that I think is a concern, you can speak to this. You see couples who have been married maybe for not long and they've got two or three kids.
Yeah.
How in the world have they been able to have time to develop a married relationship when they've had kids that soon?
Yeah, that usually happens in the very first year of marriage because you just mm-hmm. haven't had time to do that coupling we talked about where right. you get to know each other first. But if you're in that situation, you have to carve out moments. They're moments, not so many. They're not half hours or hours, but moments to yeah. stay connected to each other while you're doing kid stuff. So that's a good one. This is a good wake-up call for us all.
I'm sure if we asked for a show of hands regarding how many of us get too busy, we'd see lots of hands go up right about now.
Yeah, and that's what happens. There's this loss of love and affection.
One of our listeners had something to say about that.
If my relationship needed first aid, one of the things I would be looking for is lack of intimacy. If he stopped touching me in a loving way, like holding my hand or hugging me or touching the small of my back, opening doors for me, telling me I'm beautiful, if he stopped telling me that he loved me, I would definitely notice.
Well, she's got it. Yeah. She knows what she needs, right?
Right, definitely.
So touching and physical intimacy are important to the health of any relationship. And when we get too busy, maybe too stressed, maybe too tired, maybe too distracted, and we put our physical intimacy and expressions of love on the back burner, it isn't good for our relationships. Because sometimes what happens, Chris, is people begin to then start daydreaming maybe about being single so that they don't have so many commitments or so much stress.
Right.
Or worse, they daydream about being with someone else who might be thinking about them and would maybe treat them differently. If this happens to you, if you're starting to think like that, that again is a reality check that there is a relationship in front of you right now. Pay attention to that relationship and begin to show love and affection to that person. It will really revive the relationship.
You know, sometimes our relationship can go south because one of us, or maybe both of us, refuse to compromise in terms of wants and needs, and we want it our way.
Yeah, the root of that is usually selfishness, maybe pride or stubbornness. And so we know that if you're going to do well in a relationship, you have to develop some flexibility and some agreeableness in that relationship because you're there to meet somebody else's need, not only your own needs at that time.
Dr. Linda, on that note, we'll take a short break. Stay with us as we continue our conversation on relationship first aid right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
So as a pediatrician and a mom, I have noticed that sometimes I need to consider how my husband and I are speaking to each other whenever I listen to the discussions between my children. So whenever I notice that their talk to each other is harsh or not as gentle as I would like it to be over things that are unimportant, then I have to think about how I've been speaking to my spouse, how we have been speaking to them, to make sure that we are being the loving, gentle, and kind couple that we need to be in order to set the best example for our kids.
Wow, what a great point. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today's topic is relationship first aid. And Dr. Linda, she makes a good point to say that we really set an example for the kids, and that sets the tone for our household.
Yeah, she's talking about how we speak to each other, if we're doing it in kind, loving ways, and then we're modeling that for the kids.
Let's move ahead here. What about boredom in a relationship? I hear so many people say they are just bored with their partners.
Yeah, boredom is a real problem for all of us. And if we're not careful and we don't change things up once in a while, we're all going to get lazy. You know, here's the thing. We're in this very familiar relationship. And a lot of times I think we take the other person for granted. Don't you think that's part of what happens? You just get comfortable,
right,
and you don't think about it. We no longer do the things that stimulate interest or excitement like we did when we were dating. So the antidote for boredom is to bring novelty into your relationship. If you change things up a little bit, maybe you take a cooking class together, you try to go somewhere for the weekend. I know that's not always easy when you have young kids to do that. But maybe take the kids on some little adventure or be more creative in the bedroom. Maybe picnic on your deck or do something to change up the routine.
Anything besides the same old,
that's
as
right.
they say.
That's right.
Is sexual boredom a problem?
It is. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a hard thing for people to talk about. Mm-hmm. But sexual health is very important in a relationship. Now, here's the thing that we always tell people when we're talking about sexual differences between men and women. Men have sex with their wives to feel close to them.
Mm-hmm.
And women feel close to their husbands and then have sex.
Mm.
So it's a little bit different in terms of how we express our intimacy. And part of that is we have to understand each other better in this area and remind ourselves that God created us to be in an intimate relationship with our spouse. And sex in the context of marriage is beautiful, and it's a bonding act that's very important. All you have to do is read the Song of Solomon in the Bible if you don't believe me. It's a pretty sizzling book when you read it. The physical intimacy that couples have with each other, Chris, should not be ignored. And this is something that I have a lot of couples have a lot of trouble talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a sex-starved marriage, you need to address that now. Get behind the reasons. Start working on what is creating the problem. Don't ignore that.
We do need to talk about our sexual relationship in marriage, no matter, like you said, how uncomfortable that can be. And we may need help from a Christian counselor to do that. And we may want to do a show on that topic.
No, I'm thinking we're going to. I think we're going to do it. It'll have to be X-rated here, but we'll do it in a really nice biblical way.
There'll be the disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
Yes, we might have to do that. But we'll do it from a biblical perspective, which will be great.
I do want to go back to conflict for just a moment. We've done shows on this topic, and you've written books about it. And we talked about not avoiding conflict. But what else should we look for as a sign that we need help?
So remember that conflict is normal. It's part of every relationship. But it's conflict that escalates. That's the problem. So it's the way we handle conflict. It's more important than even solving conflict. If you respect each other, you won't get to the point of name-calling and being critical with someone. Those are two things. You know, calling names, being disrespectful, those two things really escalate a relationship. So anytime you criticize the person, get defensive, start saying hurtful and hateful things to your partner, and be disrespectful, that is a sign that relationship conflict is going to go really into a bad place and you're going to have to calm things down.
Okay, let's talk about that. How do we calm things down?
Well, the Bible talks about it in James 1. It says we should be slow to anger, quick to listen, and slow to speak. And that usually means you take a few deep breaths. Maybe you count to 10. Maybe you take a time out like we tell our kids to do. And you wait until you're calm enough to really have a respectful and a meaningful conversation.
Count to 10. Take a few deep breaths. Take a walk.
Yeah, a time out. Mm-hmm. Really. Don't we teach our kids to calm down like that? You've got little kids. Tell them to go sit in the corner there for a few moments and calm down.
And go to your room. And then usually after about 5 minutes, we can, we can
come back,
get somewhere.
You know? You engage.
Well, one serious sign that the relationship is in need of help is when one person starts moving money out of accounts and changes the way finances are handled without telling the other person.
Yeah, that's really a bad sign. That means the person is thinking about making a move and that plans have been made. So if you see that, go get some help for that relationship. Pray. Don't give up hope. God can change a person's heart. You know, when someone is unhappy in a relationship, it's often because they're unhappy with themselves. Mm. They might not know what they want or need, but they just feel unhappy. So in those cases, encourage the person to either talk to you, and if they can't, to talk to someone else, to get at the source of their dissatisfaction, because leaving a relationship just doesn't fix the problem.
Right. And Dr. Linda, we are about to run out of time here on this program. Let me ask you this, though. It's tough when one person in a relationship doesn't even want to try to work on improving things. As we wrap up here, what would you tell them to do then?
I would say just, you know, stay in that relationship, pray for that relationship, contend for that relationship. Jesus can help you take a mess into a miracle, and we have to never give up that kind of hope. So a former pastor once said to me one time that we live in the probable. I really like that.
Right.
The relationship will probably not get better. We will probably divorce, but God lives in the possible. Isn't that good?
Well, that is good, yes.
So don't give up. Continue to pray to the God of the possible. And so as we close the show today, I just want to remind you that despite relationship tensions, conflicts, upsets, all the things that are kind of normal in relationships, be intentional. Bring up problems. Make every effort to work on creating a healthy relationship. Never give up hope. Even small changes can have a big effect. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer post-producer, Chris Weigel, who is also my co-host and makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.